Here in Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 19, we have one of the most glorious promises in all the Word of God as it relates to the Christian. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now this is not a one-size-fits-all promise. Paul is writing to a people who have been born again by the Spirit of God. He is writing as well to a people who have honored the Lord with their substance. And so the reality is this morning that if you're not yet a Christian and you haven't trusted Christ as your Savior and you've never experienced a new birth, this particular promise does not apply specifically to you. Now God does in His grace and mercy provide those things that are needful for living, but He is under no obligation at all to fulfill any promise to those to whom the promise does not apply. This is a promise for Christians. Furthermore, if you are a believer and you have not honored or you're not living in obedience to the Lord, it would perhaps be presumptuous to suggest that God is under obligation to fulfill this promise in your life. Because this promise, like so many other promises in Scripture, must be viewed within its context. And the context begins at verse number 14 to verse number 18, where Paul speaks to the church at Philippi and thanks them for supporting him, encouraging him, and endeavoring to meet Paul at the point of need. This is a church, therefore, that has sought to honor the Lord and to give of their means and substance to the spread of the gospel. And really what Paul is saying from verse 14 to verse number 19, you have endeavored to meet my need. You have endeavored to support the work of God and the furtherance of the gospel. And I can say in light of that, that God most surely will meet all of your needs likewise. My God shall supply all of your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And in a sense falls back on that great principle of Scripture that is laid down in 1 Samuel 2:30, where God says, "Them that honor me, I will honor." Or as the Savior said in Matthew 6:33, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these other things shall be added unto you." Put God first, honor the Lord, obey the Lord, and He promises to look after the rest. Now Paul, of course, is speaking under divine authority, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, but he is also speaking out of personal experience. And I think those two things, for any child of God, for any servant of God, are so important that we endeavor to speak with the authority of God, according to the Word of God, but also that we have proved it out of our own personal experience. And Paul here takes up the theme in verse 19 of Philippians 4 of divine provision. And as we look at our text this morning, there are five thoughts that I want you to consider. The first one is this: the primary source of divine provision. The primary source of divine provision. The first three words of our text: but my God. My God shall supply all of your need. Paul here is revealing God and God alone to be the supplier of the needs of all of His people. How often are we tempted to trust in men and trust in methods rather than trusting in the Master to meet all of our needs? One of the very central verses, and I say that in a very practical way, in a very literal way, one of the central verses of the Word of God, Psalm 118, verse 8, "It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man." It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. And isn't it one of the great temptations in this world of ours to put great confidence in princes and parliaments and politicians and principalities and maybe even in pastors as well, and to put all of our confidence in those things and think that if we have the right men in authority, that will meet the need. But the reality is, it is much better to trust in the Lord and to put confidence in the Lord than in men, because even the very best of men are men at best, and the best of methods are methods at best. Paul is reminding this church at Philippi, your needs, and in the meeting of those needs, you must look to the Lord. He alone is the divine supplier. He is the primary source of divine provision. We must ever take our first recourse to Him as being the fountainhead of all blessing. I think this morning our text that we're looking at, Philippians 4:19, has an allusion to the scene that we read about earlier on in the meeting in Genesis chapter 22. You know the story well. Abraham and Sarah had waited for years for the fulfillment of God's promise to give them a son. And that little boy was born, Isaac. And of course, they loved Isaac with all of their hearts. He was their pride and joy. He was the one that God had given them in fulfillment of divine promises. And then one day, God spoke to Abraham and said, Abram. And like any other time, Abraham said, here am I. Take thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee to the land of Moriah, to one of the mountains that I will show thee off, and offer him there as a burnt offering for me. Abraham, of course, rose up early in the morning, began to saddle his ass. Isaac got up and stood with him, and we would know that Isaac wasn't just a little toddler, but Isaac, we believe, was a fully grown young man, because he was the one that carried all of the wood for the sacrifice up the side of Mount Moriah. And as they were making their way there, he noticed that his father Abraham had the knife, and in one hand the fire, the lantern, and Isaac was carrying the wood. And of course the question was, Dad, you've got the wood, you've got the fire, and the knife. Haven't we forgotten something important, Dad? There's no lamb here. And Abraham, knowing what God had said into his heart, he turns around and says, my son. And I think this is one of the most remarkable verses in all the Word of God. God shall provide himself a lamb. And in that one statement, you have foreshadowed the whole gospel story. We can look at that verse in different ways. God himself will be the one that provides the lamb. God will provide a lamb for himself. And in fact, whenever we think about the cross and we think about our Savior, God provides himself as the lamb. And he says this to young Isaac, and Isaac is satisfied with the answer. My father has proved God again and again and again. And if my father has told me that God will provide, God will provide. And he's quite content to allow things to take their course. And of course, whenever they get there and they put the altar and they build the altar, Isaac lies himself down upon the altar and with unswerving trust is able to look up into the eyes of his father Abraham as he lifts that knife. And as Abraham looks down at his son, he knows that somehow God is going to work it all out. As I offer up my son Isaac as a burnt offering, God somehow will have to raise him up again, because this is the child of promise. And as he lifts up the knife, God says, Abraham, Abraham. And again in obedience, here am I. Don't lay a finger upon the lad. I know, Abraham, that you love me. I know that you fear me. I know that you're going to go through and obey me. I know that you trust me to provide for all of your need. And he looks and he sees the ram caught by its horns in that thicket. And he offers up that ram in the stead of Isaac, his son. And he calls the name of the place to this day, Jehovah Jireh. In the mount of the Lord, it shall be seen. Jehovah Jireh, it literally means the Lord will see to it. Or as we often say, the Lord will provide. I'll see to it. See your need. God says whenever there's no other way of meeting the need, I will see to it. Whenever you are alone on the mountaintop, whenever you're in a strait, whenever it seems that there's no way that God will provide, God says, I'll see to it. The primary source of divine provision, my God. Do you see how personal it all is? My God. David said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want or I shall not lack. The primary source of divine provision. Notice the second thing, the positive seal of divine provision. My God shall supply. Or my God shall meet your need. My God shall supply. Those words shall supply give us a positive seal on divine provision. This promise, like every other promise in Scripture, is sure and steadfast. 2 Corinthians 1:20 says concerning the promises of God, all the promises of God are in Him, in Christ, yea and amen, unto the glory of God by us. The great missionary Adoniram Judson had gone to Burma. Providentially, God had redirected his paths. He arrived in Burma. He labored for 7 years, like so many other missionaries, without seeing one single convert within 7 years. He was discouraged. He was downhearted about it. He was struggling with his health. It seems that many of the needs weren't being met. And one of his old friends from his home church wrote him a letter and said, Judson, you need to think about coming home. It's not working out. There's no fruit for your labors. You've suffered ill health since you got there. You've met with adversity. And you're struggling. Judson wrote back with a very short letter and says, my future is as bright as the promises of God. And that was the turning point in his ministry, when he was able to say, my future is as bright as the promises of God. And God puts a special seal himself upon this promise, my God shall, will undoubtedly supply and meet all your need. Do you ever get worried about the future? Do you ever listen to all of this talk about Brexit and the upcoming election and all of the strife that there seems to be? And then we think about our own little nation here and the collapsed local government. And it seems the potential breakup of the United Kingdom. And the talk about rising taxes. And the talk about a hard border. And the talk as well about industry shutting down in this land of ours. And people struggling to get jobs and the health service the way it is. And all of these things. And then maybe we look at our homes. And we look at our families, and we look at our future, and we look at our needs, and we wonder, how will our needs ever be met? And we look away down the future, and we go running down rabbit holes, worrying about the future. And we forget these gracious and wonderful promises where God says, I'm going to supply, I'm going to meet your need, Jehovah Jireh. The word supply that is found there in verse number 19 is in fact the same word that is translated full in verse 18 where Paul says, I have all and abound, I am full. It's the same word translated supply. So what Paul is saying to this church here at Philippi is, my God shall satisfy to the full all of your need. And here is a promise that we can stand upon. Beloved, just because people have claimed this promise before us doesn't rob it of any of its ancient power. Just because for generations people have drawn upon God's infinite worth and infinite wealth doesn't mean that God is impoverished in giving. God's bank account isn't like ours, whereby if we make too many withdrawals, we'll go into the red. God is almighty, and He's all-powerful, and He's able to meet the need. I read, I suppose it was something of an embarrassing story, about a man who was crossing a frozen river in St. Lawrence in Canada. And as he needed to get along to the other side, he was traveling on foot, he looked at the ice, and he He tried to work out where the ice was thickest. He got down on his hands and knees and began to press down upon the ice and thump it with his fists. And at last he stood up and he put his foot on the ice. He began to venture out onto the ice as carefully as he could, being careful not to stand upon his tiptoes or the balls of his feet, but to spread the weight as much as he could. And then he got out towards the middle of that river and he got down on all fours to spread the weight again. And he was shaking like a leaf. He was absolutely terrified. And I'm sure you'd be the same yourself. I wouldn't like that type of thing. But as he was on all fours, shuffling along there, all of a sudden he began to hear a great noise coming behind him. And timidly he looked over his shoulder and he saw a team of horses pulling a chariot, thundering down the road. And rather than stop at the edge of the river, they didn't slow down their pace at all, but they just came thundering across the river, and he looked up with a blushing face. There he is on his hands and knees, trying to spread his weight, thinking it's all going to break underneath him. And a team of horses with a carriage behind them come thundering past the river, up the other side, onto the road again, safely. It was an embarrassing lesson, wasn't it? But he learned it well. If the ice can support a carriage full of people and a team of horses, it can certainly support me. And aren't we like that oftentimes with the promises of God? We look at them, we thump them, we shake them, and timidly we venture out upon them. Whenever the promise of God, a promise like this, can support the entire weight of the Church of Jesus Christ in all ages, that innumerable company that no man can number, it can support each and every one of us. Notice another thing here, the powerful scope of divine provision. My God, there's the primary source, shall supply, there's the positive seal. All your need, there's the powerful scope. All of your need. Now, God doesn't promise to give us every luxury that our greedy hearts may covet. Paul is not advocating here a prosperity gospel. Paul's not saying, listen, you're going, if you want a mansion, God will give you a mansion. If you want a swimming pool, God will give you a swimming pool. If you want a Rolls Royce, God will give you that too. If you require a great ranch, God will give you that as well. If you need a Learjet to travel across the world at your leisure, God will just give you that too. That's what the prosperity gospel teaches. But Paul's not advocating that at all. Paul's saying God knows all of your needs. And God is covenanted to meet every single legitimate need that you have as a Christian. God knows my need. And he has promised to meet all of my need. Now, sometimes I struggle with unbelief. Sometimes my faith is very, very small, like a grain of mustard seed. But I can testify through personal experience that every need that I have ever had, God has met that particular need. There were things that I thought that I needed, but I didn't need them. And God in his wisdom withheld them. There were other things that I thought I didn't need, but God gave them because God knew that I needed certain things. But it stands true this morning. God meets the needs of his people. Look how God has provided in the past. Did he not provide for Abraham that ram that was so needed? Did he not provide for Elijah that bread and flesh that was so needed? Whenever there was no human hand to provide his need, God sent the ravens to meet his need. Did not God provide for that old widow woman? Whenever her husband had died and her sons were going to be taken from her, did God not provide oil and meal for her? Did God not provide for the 5,000? David said, I have been young, now I am old, and I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor a seed begging bread. He was able to say, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not lack. A brother in the Lord, whenever I was a young Christian, a teenager, said to me, quoting from Psalm 84, verse 11, the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. And no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Do you remember the night Marie McCarroll was here all of those years ago and shared her testimony? whenever she was a missionary out there in Africa and she needed a new pair of shoes. And it wasn't she just thought, I'd like a new pair of shoes. She needed them. And she had learned to trust God for all of her needs, so she prayed about the shoes. And the story goes that a parcel arrived at her home one day, a pair of brown shoes, just what she was looking for, but there was a problem. There were no laces in them. Now, why would God provide shoes without laces? And she took it to God in prayer. Lord, you've sent me the shoes that I needed, but Lord, what about the laces? And then there was another parcel arrived one day with some things in it. And the lady had written a little note, and she says, if you look through the parcel there, just some things that I thought you might appreciate, but I also felt constrained to send you a pair of brown shoelaces. Just the right length for the brown shoes. Now, why would God do that? Just to show us that He is able to meet the smallest needs that we have. And sometimes He provides in ways that testify that only God could have done that. Let me ask you this morning, what is your need today? Do you need grace to face a trial? Do you need strength in a particular situation that you find yourself in? Do you need help? Do you need strength? Do you need guidance? Do you need wisdom? Do you need comfort? Are there some practical or temporal needs that you have? God can meet them all because He is almighty. Notice another thing, the precious security of divine provision. The precious security is seen in the words, according to His riches in glory. There's our precious security. And by the word security, I mean guarantee. You know, I've never been of the view that I won't ever pay off a car or get a car in hire purchase. But I know people that have done that, and I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with that, but often whenever they sign up for the car, they need someone to be their security, their guarantor. What if you can't keep up these payments and we give you the car and something happens? You need a guarantor, someone that will pay off the car on your behalf. And yet, here's a verse that gives us a guarantee. Here's a verse that gives us precious security. God does not have to scour the universe looking for means whereby He can supply the needs of His church and the needs of His people, because the Bible says in Psalm 24:1, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, and every beast of the forest is His. My God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory. His riches in glory. There is the precious security of divine provision. God's riches and God's wealth, this verse is telling us, are equal to His glory. His riches, His wealth are equal to His glory. That is to say that they are eternal and they are absolute. God's glory is an eternal glory. And God's glory is an absolute glory. And so it is with His riches. They are absolute and they are eternal. Over there in Ephesians 1:7, Paul speaks about the riches of His grace. He'd also again in Ephesians 2, verse 7. Ephesians 3, verse 8 speaks about the unsearchable riches of Christ. Paul's saying to the church at Philippi, you gave to me out of your poverty, but my God is going to give to you out of His riches. In other words, you cannot outgive God. His pockets are deeper than yours, and God is no man's debtor. Whenever you give to the Lord, you're in a sense giving to yourself, because God always provides out of His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. He doesn't need our methods. He doesn't need our manipulation in any circumstance. He doesn't need our market stalls to meet the need. God meets the need according to His riches in glory. Look at men like Hudson Taylor. Look at men like William Carey, who made remarkable statements like, God's work done God's way will never lack God's supply. or men like George Mueller, who so believed in the power of God to provide that if God is who he says he is and the promises of God are what they say they are, I will not need to go with a begging bowl in hand and tell people how much I need, because sure, God knows. I will talk about the work, and I will trust God to put it in the hearts of people to give. Ernie Allen said, if we ever go into the red, that's the day whenever the doors close. And these are principles which seem to have worked. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory. When I think about divine provision, you've got its primary source, my God. You've got its positive seal, shall supply. You've got a powerful scope, all of your need. You've got precious security according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And that's the personal surety of divine provision by Christ Jesus. The word grace has often been defined by way of an acrostic: God's riches at Christ's expense. And whenever God opens the storehouses of his provision to any child of God, we must always remember that it's all of grace. It's all because of Jesus Christ. Even though the Philippians had been kind and benevolent and had given sacrificially and given systematically to meet the needs of the work of God, it was still grace through Jesus Christ that would meet their needs as well. We can never come to God and say, ah, but God, I did such and such a thing. Paul says, whenever God meets your need, it's not because of anything that you have done. It's not because of any work of yours. It's not because of any merit of yours. It's because of Jesus Christ. He is the reservoir and the channel of divine giving. The words by Christ could be rendered just as legitimately in Christ or through Christ. And again, we see that this type of provision is limited to God's people. It's for those who are in Christ. And he has promised to provide all that we need, spiritually, temporally, and eternally in the person of his Son. I love those words that are found in the book of Romans chapter 8 and verse number 32. And with these, we're almost finished. Whenever Paul says, he that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Paul's saying, listen, God has given to you, Christian, the very best that he had to give. He's given a pearl of great price. He has delivered up his Son for us all. And if he has given us his Son, anything else that he gives us is a much lesser gift. He gave our Son because we needed salvation. And how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Dr. Donald Barnhouse, the great old Presbyterian preacher of a bygone day in the city of Philadelphia, was rich in application of life's experiences as he shared the word of God with his people. He told a story about visiting a hotel in Canada. And there was a particular porter who worked in that hotel who was a Christian, and they knew each other well. And one day, whenever the porter was showing Mr. Barnhouse to his room, they'd been talking about the promises of God. And whenever they got to the door of the particular hotel room, Mr. Barnhouse said to the young man, he says, how much money do you have in your pocket? He didn't have to look. He says, I've got exactly $1.19. That wasn't all that much. It was Tuesday. The young man wasn't being paid until the Friday. And so between then and payday, he had to rely upon the tips of his people to put bread on the table. Mr. Barnhouse put his hand into his pocket and brought out 50 cents. He says, hold out your hand. He held out his hand and he put the 50-cent piece in his hand. He says, that's yours. I'm giving that to you. How much do you have now? He says, $1.69. Good man. And then he put his hand into the hand of the porter, and he took back the 50 cents and put it in his own pocket. He says, "How much do you have now?" And he sort of looked at Donald Barnhouse and shrugged his shoulders. $1.19. "You calling me a liar? Didn't I say that 50 cents was yours? I was giving it to you. How much do you have?" He smiled and says, "I've got $1.69. 50 cents of which are in your pocket." And before they parted company, of course, the 50 cents had been given back, but he learned the lesson. Just because you don't have it now doesn't mean that it isn't yours. God has given us. But there is provision in heaven for us. An inheritance there, an account in glory. And it's ours. And God will give us freely all things that we need in Christ Jesus. Divine provision. "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Let's sing an old hymn together just as we conclude our worship this morning. It's number 429. 429. We'll just sing verses 1 through to verse number 3. 429. "Anywhere with Jesus I can safely go. Anywhere he leads me in this world below. Anywhere without him, dearest joys would fade. Anywhere with Jesus, I am not afraid." 429.